You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Nolan knows her knowledge is your power.
It's now 13 minutes past 2, and it means that it's our usual Thursday segment with Wendy Nola, who's a renowned consumer journalist. So Wendy joins us every Thursday, and we unpack a particular consumer issue, and we learn so much. And this is because Wendy has worked behind the scenes with our listeners, those who have these case studies that we bring to the radio for all of us to learn from, and she helps to resolve those particular cases. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Azza. Good to be with you again.
Yes, good to be with you too. We postponed this one from last week because we put the bees as a priority, because it was not too far from the conference that you had attended. So just in keeping with what was
hot topic,
most recent and newsworthy, we deferred this one to today. But a very fascinating case, because we have to then, it forces us to think about what the term wheelchair friendly means and how it's been interpreted, how it gets interpreted in the built environment.
That's the thing, because what I certainly learned from investigating this piece was that what we potential guests may consider to be, to meet the definition of wheelchair friendly, and what the accommodation providers have in mind, are often not the same thing. And in fact, the term wheelchair friendly is meaningless within the framework of universal access and all the guidelines and levels that entails. So asking if a place is wheelchair friendly is really not the right question to ask, as we'll discover as this story unravels.
We're going to have Makosa Sana in a short while. Our phone system just failed a moment ago, so we're trying to get her on the line. But you got involved in her case. She's the listener, in fact, who traveled with her partner, a new relationship with a partner who is in a wheelchair. And they made a really rude discovery.
They did. So she made the booking through booking.com. It was at a lodge called Sabi River Bush Lodge for mid-April, and it was for 4 nights, I think it was, at a cost of 7,000 rand. And she did the booking, Makosa Sana, and she asked booking.com whether the establishment was wheelchair-friendly. Those were the words she used, and I've seen the email. The response was, yes, it is. So she says, while getting to the room was no problem because there were ramps, once inside, her partner didn't find the room or bathroom specifically to be wheelchair friendly at all. Mm-hmm. So they said that the gap between the getting from the bedroom to the bathroom was not wide enough, that the wheelchair scraped on both sides. Would have battled to get in and out of the shower. There was no appropriate chair. There was no chair at all, in fact. Have we got Makosa Sana?
Yes, we do, actually. At least the line is now up and running. So Makosa Sana Kanyile has agreed to come on to share their experience with her partner at this particular lodge. Hello, Makosa Sana.
Hi, Azania, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on, and because this actually is going to help a lot of people out. So Wendy was giving just a brief outline and introduction to your story. So you booked at the Sabi River Bush Lodge via booking.com, but then were quite disappointed with what you found there. What was the problem?
So before making the booking, because my partner is in a wheelchair, he was in a bike accident, he's paraplegic. And so we had gone on holiday in January to Dzanin, and that was my first time booking for us. And I had just inquired if they were wheelchair friendly, and they said they were. And when we got to the place, we got quite an exceptionally large room, had great access, and a bathroom fully kitted out for a paraplegic person. And so in my assumption, when I asked Sabi River Bush Lodge if they were wheelchair friendly and they responded that they were, immediately assumed that, I would in fact, or rather that we would in fact be getting a similar setup. Not only that, we then asked for a river-facing room. And they said, sure, absolutely no problem. But when we arrived, realized that one, the shower was not fully kitted out. It's quite a small room. And so even access getting to the side of the bed, he wouldn't quite go all the way, had to stop short of going all the way. But going in and out of the shower, the size of his chair scraped the wall and the basin. Not only that, the bathroom was just not suitable. It was too narrow. And they tried to give us an alternative. I then went to complain at the front, and they said, look, we can give you a chair. Because I was like, he's not going to shower sitting in his chair.
Yes.
You know, he has to have an appropriate chair. And they gave us a wooden chair, a deck chair, and it had the filthiest cushion on it. Mm. And when I called the manager to complain, to say, but this is false advertising, and she said, no, the ramps and everything else that, well, not everything else, just the ramps in their grading, amounts to wheelchair friendly. And I was like, but that can't be correct. A ramp cannot equal to a wheelchair friendly establishment. And we had this heated argument over the phone, and I indicated that, look, it means for the next 4 nights my partner is going to be miserable in this room. It's a struggle to get in and out of the bathroom. We're not going to stay here. We need to look for alternative accommodation.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you know, we have done nothing wrong. This is not false advertising. They insisted that they have just the one guest who comes on an annual basis who brings his own chair. I'm like, how are we supposed to know that we must bring our own chair?
Yes. You know,
I thought it was a ridiculous argument, but she insisted, and we were not going to get paid.
So you left?
We left the same night. We spent, what, 45 minutes at that place looking for alternative accommodation. And this is in Hazyview. We had driven for like 5 hours from Joburg.
Yeah.
My partner was tired, but yeah, had to find alternative accommodation, which lucky for us was, what, 5 kilometers down the road. And we were comfortable, but they just simply refused to give us our money back. They said they hadn't done false advertising, and I didn't specify when I was booking that my partner is a paraplegic. I just said wheelchair friendly, and according to their grading, which they insisted they get from the Tourism Grading Society, I think is what they said, the ramps that they have is enough to qualify them as wheelchair friendly.
Oh, so many questions about the grading on the one hand, about the, you know, universal access and how it is how it expresses in the built environment and different people's understanding and interpretation. It sounds like an awful experience. What do you think?
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think the thing about it for me was just the humanity of it all, because we showed up. It's unlike we cancelled. I understand it's COVID and businesses are suffering, but we showed up. We didn't cancel on the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when you realize that the accommodation is not suitable, especially for an individual on a wheelchair, you at least have the responsibility of saying, we apologize, you know, we hope you find alternative accommodation. It was at night, you know, and we still had to drive out. So I think for me, it's about the bringing awareness to the fact that there clearly is a discrepancy between what we see stated on websites and what these establishments think they can get away with doing their minimum, you know, and I don't think it's acceptable. Forget the money. Do I want my money back? Absolutely. But I think just being able to shine a spotlight on these unscrupulous individuals who think it's okay to take people for a ride like that, you know, and even I didn't know that there's not even such a word as wheelchair friendly. It's apparently wheelchair accessible. You know, that's the right, I didn't know until I was reading up on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but for the ordinary men on the street, how are you going to know those discrepancies? It's a lot of money to be out of pocket and then still have to pay another $6,000 for accommodation.
Elsewhere,
you're up 12
yeah.
grand, mm-hmm. you know? So, mm-hmm. yeah, but... Anyway, sorry, I know you were trying to ask a question.
No. You actually addressed some of the things that I was most curious about. But Wendy, you got involved then because the tourism grading of the establishment in part is what gave Makosa Zana confidence about what she thought she would expect.
Yes. So that's I had a big learning there as well. So the Tourism Grading Council of South Africa is part of the National Tourism Department that falls under there. It's not compulsory to be graded. It costs an establishment money, but then they use that obviously to their marketing advantage, right? And it does give potential guests some idea of the standard and the amenities of a particular establishment. So when I went onto the lodge's website, I saw they were displaying 3 stars. So I went to the grading council and I asked them about that. And the first bit of information I got was that they are no longer graded because their grading was cancelled in March of this year. So if they are displaying stars anywhere at the lodge on their website, which is where I saw it, that's illegal advertising. And they said, please note that although the property itself is graded 3 stars, they are not UAA compliant. That's universal access. And it doesn't just cover people in wheelchairs. It's the blind and all sorts of other forms of disability. Mm. And that's a separate process. You have to be graded separately on that. It's an entirely different thing. And that gives people who are disabled a very clear idea of what they can and can't expect from that establishment. So it's certainly never the case that you put a ramp in to get access to a room or to the dining facility, whatever, and that ticks the wheelchair friendly. There is no such thing as wheelchair friendly. It's various levels of universal access, and this facility wouldn't meet even level one of universal
wow.
access. So any lodge guest house whatever can't talk about being graded or being vetted or whatever for wheelchair accessibility, friendliness, or whatever else where they want to use, unless they've had a specific universal access grading, and they have a lot of boxes to tick for to get that grading, even at level one. So that was the first learning. I then some time ago, I phoned the lodge to get an email address for the owner, and I spoke to the manager, who didn't give a name. And she's admitted the same story about the foreign guest who comes regularly with his own chair for the shower. And she said it's not difficult for someone to get in a wheelchair from the bedroom to the bathroom without scraping the walls. She said that's absolutely not the case. There's plenty of space. And for me, the most bizarre thing she said was being in a wheelchair is not the same thing as being disabled. Not all people in wheelchairs are disabled, she said, like my gran. She's
oh,
just
my.
Old.
Oh, my. That was okay. Really a response?
Note that when they answered the question, are you wheelchair friendly, they didn't say, can you be more specific? Are you
yes.
just old or are you disabled?
Mm.
Anyway, it was all quite unpleasant. I then sent a very detailed email to the owner, Dale Shepherd, and I asked him, having laid out everything I've just said to you now, are you still unwilling to refund the couple the 7,000 rand they paid for 4 nights accommodation, given that they left because the room and particularly the adjoining bathroom were not suitable for somebody in a wheelchair? His response is quite long. I don't want to be accused of not giving it in full, so I'm going to do my best. He began by saying, Makosa Zana made a reservation through booking.com. She had the opportunity to select her preferred accommodation via a number of options offered by booking.com, one being price. She selected her preferred choice of accommodation via price. Room 4, it's not described as being wheelchair or disabled friendly on booking.com. But when she sent a message to the lodge, she asked whether the room was wheelchair friendly, and she didn't ask whether it was disabled friendly. So in their minds, they've made a distinction. The reservations team immediately noticed that the guest reservation did not match the room type. Room 4 wasn't wheelchair friendly, so they organized an upgrade to a river facing wheelchair friendly room. Mm. They didn't charge you more. And then again, mentioning that people, we have a number of rooms and luxury tents that are wheelchair friendly, but they are not paraplegic friendly. There are no handrails, extended taps, etc. Then when they arrived, we saw that her partner was in fact a paraplegic and required more than just a wheelchair-friendly room. Well, whether the person was old or whatever, the wheelchair couldn't move easily around in the room, but that's in dispute. She says every wheelchair guest that brings their own seating equipment to be used in the shower. We do have anyway. Let me cut to the chase. We offered a short-term solution, which required for the partner. It's obviously referring to that wooden chair. There's never been an issue getting into the bathroom with a wheelchair.
Right.
Now this is interesting. As with regard to the grading council grading, I'm sure you're aware that the industry, tourism and hospitality, have been through a really tough time. 300,000 jobs lost since last March. We had to reassess our financial position and cut costs. And one of the ways they did that was to not renew their tourism grading.
But is it still
stars,
up? Are the stars still up?
He didn't go there, but okay. I can tell you that it was still up I haven't checked now, but a couple of weeks ago when I sent the query, they were searching on the website, and the manager told me herself, yes, I've got it up here. She was insistent it's valid until August. So I double checked, and it's not. He says, we've been a 3-star graded establishment for over 8 years. The SA Tourism Mpumalanga Lodge of the Year for 3 years out of those 8 years. We are now excluded from a grading due to financial constraints, as we are not a 51% BEE owned organization and we don't qualify for a discount. He said, I've taken Savi River Bush Lodge from a failed land claim establishment that sold rooms per hour to where it is today, employing 25 staff, 9.1 out of 10 booking review score on booking.com, okay. TripAdvisor Hall of Fame, blah, blah, blah. Hotel.com, 9 out of 10 review score for the last 10 years. So he's feeling very put out.
So that's still no, that they're not going to get their refund.
That's still a no. He didn't actually address it, but I think the answer was in his failure to address it. So
yes.
An implied hard no. Unfortunately, you know, as I don't like not getting results for our listeners.
No, but, absolutely. But I just want to give Makosa Zana a final word before we take the headlines. Makosa Zana, that response, how did it make you feel?
Sure. First, I think I was just mad. And then I think I was just sad that, you know, people can be treated like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you save to go on holiday, you know, and to then be met with this kind of behavior. I just thought, you know, the lack of humanity in that response as well. Mm-hmm. And it was also riddled with inaccuracies, you know, and people think they can get away with it.
A different account,
But thanks to Wendy, a Shamla got in touch with me yesterday, and she does not want me to take this lying down and wants to approach the human rights court, and you know, she's willing to take up the cause because she says she sits on the board of tourism, of the Tourism Grading Council, and this is absolute nonsense. They should not even be advertising themselves as a wheelchair friendly establishment. But I think what's even worse, a sore point for me, is I was prompted to write a review of the place by booking.com a week after, because obviously booking.com was not aware that we didn't stay at the establishment, but I still wrote my experience. And you know that it wasn't published, and I think that's even worse, because then how do you warn
other people?
Yes. You know what I mean? And I think that's just bad on their part, you know, and I don't know whether they send the reviews to the establishment for them to approve putting it up. But whichever way that it's done, it just smacks of corruption, because you should be able to properly give a review of your first-hand account of an establishment, and it shouldn't be taken away.
No, absolutely. I think on that one, it's an interesting one that we can also look at in a future show. But Makosa Zana, really, I'm so sorry for the experience that you and your partner had, and that even through all these efforts, we weren't able to get you that refund. As Wendy said, it it grieves her deeply that she wasn't able to at least have that as a consequence of this entire exercise. But we are going to be speaking.
But thank you for trying.
Yeah.
Thank you for trying, Wendy, and thanks for taking this case on and shining a spotlight on it. And if you can save another individual from being scammed, you know, all the better.
That's it. And we're going to be speaking to the relevant authorities now so that we're all more armed and more aware. I don't have to be in a wheelchair for me to care about universal access. And I can also point out in various establishments that that access perhaps is not adequate, or even in their advertising, what do they actually mean? We can all play a part in making sure that there's greater accountability. But Makosazana, thank you very much for coming on.
No, thank you, ladies. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Cool.
That's Makosazana Kanyile, and she was our case study for today. So after the headlines and our catch up with John Pullman, we're going to speak to Shama Natu, who's the MD for Universal Accessibility Hub, and we'll outline exactly what the requirements are. But first,
702. Nolan knows.
It is 18 minutes to 3 o'clock, because John will be stepping in at 3. So, yes, to 3 o'clock. And we're still unpacking Makosazana Kanyile's case. What a fascinating case study. And we'll be speaking to Shama Natu, who is the MD of Universal Accessibility Hub, in a moment, as well as Ari Cyrillis, the National Director at Quad Para, the Quad Para Association of South Africa. But first, let's take this call from Ofense, calling us from Centurion. Ofense, you heard Makosazana's story and you immediately got in touch with us.
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. I had a recent experience with a lady who's on a wheelchair. She's a paraplegic, and we then had a similar, very similar problem to what she had. We were traveling and just never mind getting accommodation that's advertised as being wheelchair accessible, but just getting it generally was a huge challenge for us. I mean, we hopscotched between about 4 hotels before we could get to the final one. And even on the final one, all they had was a ramp at the front and a lift. And we had to settle for that because, I mean, she can't be on a chair sitting in one position for too long. So we had to compromise and had to now use those facilities or use that particular hotel. And when we asked and explained to them that we've got somebody on a wheelchair and these are the requirements, they said, no, that's not a problem. We've got a ramp. But by the time we got to the room, it was just a standard room. I mean, and as the lady explained earlier on, that room, the wheelchair couldn't do a full 360
in the
turnaround, you know. And, I mean, even getting into the bathroom was an issue. Everything that she said, I experienced as well there. I mean, she paid for a hotel room, but she had to take a bath, you know, in a dish. We had to arrange a dish for her so that she can, or a tub that we could take from the bathroom, pour water in, and then she can be cleansed on the bed or on that side of the bed because we couldn't get her into the bathroom at all, never mind the shower.
So, in fact, that's the point that Makosazana was making, that people's dignity is trampled on and just not taken seriously or considered adequately.
Yeah, I think also maybe as a point that I'd like to add, I think if more education or training could go into awareness of the needs of somebody who's in a wheelchair, etc., because it's sometimes just taken as it's enough to have a sign that says or have a ramp, you know, and say it's okay, we accommodated them. But there's so much that they need just in their space of living daily, you know, depending on the level of the injuries, etc., you know. So it really, I think a lot of educational training needs to go into that, especially with the hotel staff, because I mean the hotel staff, in most cases when you ask them can you do this, they'll say yes because they were told to say yes. You know, they don't really have an understanding of what that actually entails when I ask if a room is friendly for a person in a wheelchair.
Yes. So, so we have to improve our questions, but they also have to improve their questions in order to meet our needs. Absolutely.
I've noticed that from both ends, you know, they're also just as clueless. They are completely true.
Right.
They have to be educated by us, and we have to say, no, this doesn't work, this is how it goes, this is what we need, that's not enough, that's not big enough, that's too small. So I think it would help as part of, I don't know, I'm not in the hospitality space, but it would help if maybe in their space or during their training somewhat to have that little segment to say, this is how we deal with people with disabilities, etc.
Yes, absolutely. Ofense, thank you for sharing your experience. You have stuck it out. You stuck out your stay at this establishment. Makosazana couldn't, of course, and still left without a refund. But it doesn't mean that that was any an improved or an experience that was any better. So thank you for sharing that. We're going to get some more insights as we speak to Ari Sarelis, the former CEO of the Quad Para Association. And he joins us now. We have Shama Nathu that we're trying to get a hold of, just to let you know, Wendy, as you're sitting in Cape Town. So the National Director at Quad Para Association, former CEO, is Ari Sarelis, actually. Good afternoon, Ari.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
This afternoon, we're hearing quite concerning stories about how wheelchair-bound South Africans, travelers, are not catered to enough at various establishments. Our first guest, Makosazana, was encouraged to open a case with the Human Rights Commission. This is essentially a human rights issue. What recourse do people who are misled by the term wheelchair or disabled friendly have?
Okay, that's a very interesting question, and I wish we'd have more time today and another day, but we don't. So let me be clear. There are some magnificent establishments providing offerings that are accessible, but never enough. And then, of course, there are establishments that out of the blue just come up with using this term wheelchair friendly in order to entice people that are mobility impaired to come and spend their money in the environment. And we have a torrid time because the places are not in any way wheelchair accessible. There's no term that actually exists describing what wheelchair friendly means. Does it mean that they're friendly to people using wheelchairs? I don't know the answer to that. But in terms of recourse, I would believe the best recourse that you can take presently that's got some clout is using the Equality Court, taking that particular vendor to the Equality Court and demanding your money back. However, when it comes to us solving the problem of this term being used illegitimately by accommodation suppliers, is we need to go to the Human Rights Commission and say that this term on its own is an illegitimate term to be used.
Right. So, in fact, we need to remove it. We need to make sure that it's not part of our messaging at all.
Well, you know, it is interesting because the term on its own is quite derogatory.
Right.
And so we don't even like the term wheelchair friendly. And it's used in many, it's used in many different scenarios, and it has no definition at all. And it's absolutely derogatory for wheelchair users.
What is the preferred term?
Wheelchair user. So I am a wheelchair user.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to give me an offering that is wheelchair accessible, then that's what you say. Our establishment is wheelchair accessible. And then, of course, I would ask a few questions.
Yeah.
I would just assume that there would be ramps where there would be a stairway. Then I would start saying, have you got a roll-in shower?
Mm.
Ooh, no, we don't. Well, then how would I take a shower? Ooh, ons is nie so seker nie. Or we're not quite sure. And so then you would also get yourself out of trouble. Or you would certainly influence the person to say, look, we can't accept wheelchair users into our environment. So I was lucky enough to be a judge, and I have been for the last 10 years, on the Tourism Grading Council for facilities that are universally accessible. And there are some, as I mentioned earlier, some wonderfully accessible places. And then there's some people that enter. But you wonder if they didn't even read the rules properly, and they still believe that because someone arrived there using a wheelchair and battled through the place, that then qualifies them to say we're wheelchair accessible because someone came here and probably didn't complain.
Mm.
So it's a bit of a minefield for wheelchair users. Yes, it's hi Wendy. I can even recognise your voice.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Long time.
Yes. So we're in absolute minefield, and there is a solution. And I do believe that wheelchair users should be the best way of making the changes is through your wallet.
Yeah.
We must spend our money with those vendors that are universally accessible, and we must boycott restaurants, hotels, B&Bs, Airbnbs, guest lodges that are not accessible. And hopefully they'll see the reduction in their turnovers by not seeing that we're a market of people that have got money to spend. And always remember, whenever there's a wheelchair user, we seldom go on holidays on our own.
Yeah.
We seldom travel on our own. There's two, three, or four of us that are occupying beds. And so I think we're a good value proposition to the tourism industry.
Mm. Ari, thank you so much. That was passionately expressed. And I think it's a movement that needs to start in earnest in getting rid of this word in our environment, because it misrepresents what facilities are able to provide. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks for having taking my opinion.
Yes.
Okay, Wendy, thank you so much, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. That's Ari Serlis there.
Thanks, Ari.
Yeah, what a passionate position there. And absolutely, it makes all the sense. We need to check this word immediately. But Wendy, let's also chat to Shama Nathu, the MD for Universal Accessibility Hub. Finally, our lines are cooperating. So in the time remaining, let's quickly also find out more about the work that they do. Shama, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
We're very good, thank you. I wanted you to expand on something that Ari already commented on. Wheelchair-friendly obviously has turned out to be anything but in our case study, and it's also turned out to be quite an offensive, insulting phrase. Do you support and agree with wheelchair user, wheelchair accessible as the appropriate labeling?
Definitely, because we have found in the market that people misuse the word friendly. And what happens is it attracts guests to book at the establishments, and it's very misleading. And what establishments are doing is they're using friendly for a tick box. And what we need to do is exactly what Ari has alerted us to do, is to make the establishments that are doing this, we need to put them up there and train them, because basically it's just from a constitutional point of view, on a human dignity point of view, we shouldn't be there. We need what the grading council, we've got different establishments where one can also book to kind of safeguard yourself against this. So we need also bring about awareness to the general public that, you know, you need to also look at which booking sites you are using to safeguard yourself against this.
Yes. So how should someone with special needs go about ensuring that the booking they've made is for an establishment is adequate for their needs? Ari gave us a sense of some of the questions. What is your advice?
I would definitely make sure that the place is graded. I would also go as far as, if you want really be assured, ask to send you photographs, or generally most of these sites would have photographs of the rooms, of the interior, exterior, and then have a look at all these photographs before you actually make a booking. Mm. And for me, it's not only about a physical disability, but you know, there's when we're talking universal access, we're looking at persons that are elderly, hearing impaired, sight impaired, and then the physical as well. And even a mother or dad with a parents with a child in a pram, they also need ramp facility. They also need different forms of access. So we need to actually become more conscious about this. And universal access, I mean, in 2013, UN, United Nations, World Tourism Organization, constituted that this is like an emerging segment. It's a market that is untapped. We need to look at it. Mm-hmm. And it's about actually advising tourism establishments that they need to look at retrofitting. But they also need to come on board the National Department of Tourism and say, we'd like to retrofit. Can we please get the incentives that you offer us in order for us to retrofit? So it's both parties, you know, both the private sector to the public sector, we need to meet each other halfway. Mm-hmm. Universal access needs to become mainstream. We shouldn't Absolutely. Even be having these conversations. And because we're having these conversations, one of the reasons also we're having this conversation, I'm not sure if Ari's mentioned this, but we've got a white paper on the rights of persons with disability. And that paper was constituted, it was approved by Cabinet on the 9th of December 2015. Mm-hmm. What we need is an act. We need something out there that if anyone builds an establishment, a hotel, anything, automatically UA be number one. It will be a priority.
Yes, I think that's important. As I listen to you, Sharma, I realize that it would be wonderful for us to do a masterclass on universal access. And we'll do that in a future show. Just to delve a little bit deeper, as you said, it's more than for wheelchair users. The meaning of universal is so much more broader, and we don't even see ourselves and how we fit into that immediately, though we all do. Thank you so much, Sharma. Thank you for joining us.
No, it's a pleasure. Look forward to having a further discussion
Absolutely.
On this and
yeah.
Bringing about an awareness.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. That is Sharma Nathu, the MD of Universal Accessibility Hub. And Wendy, just like that, the hour is gone. What compelling stories from Makhosazana and Ofenze?
Yes, absolutely. And I think when I was chatting to Makhosazana, she was saying, you know, you don't think about these issues. The closest you get as an able-bodied person, unless somebody in your circle, in your family, in your friend circle becomes disabled, is when you have a child suddenly in a pram as a parent.
Yeah.
And suddenly you realize you get a tiny, tiny glimpse into what it must be like to be in a wheelchair and trying to navigate the world.
Yeah.
I found it a fascinating little journey of investigation. There's so much more to say. We ran out of time, but I'm very grateful to Makhosazana for bringing it up with us and giving us a chance to ventilate the issue a little bit.
And it gives us an opportunity, in fact, to do a masterclass on this, because those curb cuttings
yes.
that we see on the pavement were for veterans from Vietnam, but now they're great for cyclists, for moms with prams. So when we talk about universal
yes.
access,
yes.
it really gives meaning to the fact that we solve for the most vulnerable and the rest of society benefits. At first sight or at first thought, we might not see
that.
But when we solve for the most vulnerable, everybody benefits. So we promise
well
you a masterclass
said.
On that.
Yes.
Wendy, thank you as always. Till
Excellent.
Next Thursday.
Thank you, Azza. Okay, then. Bye-bye.
That was Wendy Nola. A tweet says there are a lot of thesis projects by architecture students gathering dust at universities addressing universal accessibility. We need to give architects a final say with respect to all compliance. Universally accessible must be signed off by a PR architect.